Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome back to the Straight Spirit Podcast. This is a very, very different episode. Let me just adjust my mic. It's going to sound weird to you guys. This is so impromptu. I've just had a spirit come through and be like, I just felt such an eagerness and an urge to get the message out. So I feel my energy is very like, hurry, 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 hurry. So what happened is someone very close to me sent a message, my mum. She said, have you heard of this podcast? And I said, no, I thought I did, but I was thinking of another one. And I was thinking of Into the Dark, I think, and it was shot in the dark. I said, so I hadn't heard of it. I Google searched it, clicked on a link and watched 30 seconds of a video or a news video, a news clip. I don't know much but her name, Gwen Glover, I think it is, or Glover. And I know how she merged. And then it was just like, stop, you got to record this. So she started talking to me immediately. And I've been finding this more and more lately. If I even just glimpse a photo of someone or just name anything, they just start talking to me immediately. So she's been giving me messages already. And I felt like I had to get them down. So I tend to only pick up crime readings or do crime episodes if I'm guided to, and this one I'm strongly guided to. It was like literally within half an hour, 20 minutes, not even. I just was like, bam, I gotta record. So she told me she's got a message, she's got to get out. And she said, I was thinking about my spiel, you know, I don't do this to capitalize or make light of any sort of situation for the family, of the family. I'm not doing it for shock value. It's because Gwen's got a message. She's got a message. And she said some of her family is not going to believe me if they listen to this, but she said that there will be one or two and maybe three. There'll be a couple of them that who do believe, who will believe it's her, and they're who she's speaking to. Okay. So you are going to hear my some noise in the background, but I am in this part of the house. It's just me and Gwen and all the other spirits here. All right, so before I start, it's going to be interesting jumping between the vibrations. To do what I do, I usually stay in a very high vibration. That's how I hear so clearly and how I'm so joyful, you know, almost all the time. So I found with true crime readings, so the spirit itself is very high vibe, very loving, very pure, very peaceful. But when they talk to me about what's happened in their physical life, it really changes. Like, so for instance, the first thing she showed me was herself crying. I know in spirit she's not sad. That's not, she's showing me part of the story. A puzzle piece, she said, puzzle piece. So I know how, I know in that 30 seconds of the clip that I listened to or watched, I know the act of how she passed, but I'm still just going to read, like, I'm just going to tell you what she told me. She's also told me, because sometimes with true crime readings, I feel a little bit like, you know, I'm a big believer in a law of attraction and keeping my vibration clean and high so I attract the best positive experiences. And she's saying, sometimes I think, oh, you know, if I play around in the true crime arena too much, I might pick up some things that are not less than positive. She's saying that she let me know. She's like, I'm not here to hurt you. I don't want to bring you any bad vibes. I just want to get this message out. She's just really wanted to reassure me, let me know that I'm going to be okay. And she's like, it's just a message. She said, it's just a message. So let's get down to it. Okay. I can feel it here on my left side. I used to need to scribble a doodle like Tyler Henry when I did my readings. Now I don't have to do that. I can hear her really clearly and see her. Okay, talk when floor is yours. Let's see what happened that day and before it. Let's see what she's got to say. Oh, I'm not sure if I've said it yet, but I have not listened to the podcast. To be clear, I have not listened to anything else except that 30-second clip, news clip. Okay. I'm feeling an easiness, like I'm sitting next to her and she's talking to me. I always see her sitting on the curb or some sort of, it's like a garden bed, a side of a, or like in a house or building where you, they have like stairs or garden. It's like very close to the ground, but it's not the floor or the ground. And she, 'cause she's got her knees up. She's sort of hugging her knees up to her chest. Like she's quite slight. I get a really slim build. I can feel it. I can feel it so clearly. May have smoked. May have been a smoker because she's got a smoke in her hand or a durry. I'm hearing durry. It's very Australian. Okay, so what she did show me earlier, I'm going to try and walk back through what I did, what she showed me earlier. She showed me herself crying and she said he treated me horribly. She was really upset. She was really sad. And she was really, like, I felt she could express that to some people, but she still had to go home with them, like with this person. Like, it was okay. It was all well and good to sit and have a talk about it. But then to go home with the monster, like to go in and live with it was a different issue. Even if they didn't live together, it was like I still, behind closed doors, behind the curtain, I've still got to live with it. People put in their two cents, and she's not dirty. Like, she's not mad about any of the advice anyone gave her in that respect. Like, it was good for her to talk it out, but at the same time, she's like, it didn't help because I still had to go and deal with it. I still had to live with it. That's the vibe she's giving me. She also showed me that... I'm jumping around a lot because she showed me quite a bit before I even hit play. It was so quick. And for those who don't understand, it's like a quick flashes, like a flashcard, and I've got to memorize all the details and emotions attached to it before I read. Just give me 1 second pause, guys. I don't like stopping my recordings in case like it messes up, so just give me 2 seconds. Okay, guys. Thanks so much for waiting. So for me, that was part of the message. And this is why I don't like to turn the podcast off if I have to go and talk to the kids or do something, because it's all part of it. It's all relevant. So in going up to go and talk to the kids and check on them and all that, I got a message right then and there. This is why I like to do it unedited and unfiltered. Right, so she's saying that people may have checked in on them, or like family might have checked in on her. She's given me the impression of people like looking in, and in that brief second, it would look like everything was okay, like she was doing all right. And so they think, oh, maybe there's nothing to worry about. But then it was like looking through a crack in the door and seeing one brief moment in time and not opening the door fully and actually seeing what was going on. It's kind of like looking at one slither of or peak of a painting and thinking, oh, that garden looks lovely. And then opening the veil completely and seeing that it's not a garden. In fact, it's a, she's showing me like a deadly dragon. Like, because you only saw one green scale and it looked like a beautiful flower, and then you opened it and it was like, bam, that's actually a monster. She keeps using that word. Monstrous. He's a monstrous man. I'm not naming names. I don't have any names associated with it. I'm just going to put the message out there, and then whoever hears it can do, can make of it what they like. I'm just here to be her conduit, so to speak. She also showed me being hit in the side of the head. I'm feeling right side, because what she's showing me is a time when I got punched in the head. I feel like I'm really jumping forward here, but I have to go through what she showed me. I got punched in the head twice. There was one particular night, and it felt quite shocking and stunning. It was very quick. And it was like, I can't believe that just happened. And so she's drawing me back to that. It was like, for her experience was like, she got hit in the head and it was over really quickly. She said she didn't even have time to think about what was next or what to do. It was like terror and then end. It was like, this wasn't like she had planned it out and was had time to ruminate and think about what the next step would be like, you know, how her family would be or anything. Like, it was just terror. It was anxiety. It was like panic. And then it was over. She said very quietly, and I don't know if she was quietly spoken around this person, but she said very quietly, and I'm going to check again to clarify, but I heard, he finally got me. He got me. He finally got me. And then she was like, sort of regretful. And I really get a sense like people knew about it. Like, she told people. She knew. Like, she told. This, I wouldn't be surprised if she said to someone, he's going to kill me. Or she said, you know, this is what's happening. This is how I'm being treated. And it's not like it was a great surprise to everybody. She's like, not at all. Not at all. I think people have a fairly good idea of who did it. Sorry, just took a sip. My drink there. She may have even had hot coffee or something spilled on her, tipped on her at one point. I feel like this person was just damn unreasonable. Just brash and boisterous, but not in a fun way. Like, just took the air out of the room. Like, was just she keeps calling him bastard. She keeps saying bastard, 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 fucking bastard. And I think people around her, like friends or family, female people, would agree with her. Like, they would agree. But I really think maybe people didn't know what they could do, or the things, like the steps that they took, didn't work. It was like everyone was just sort of hands up in the air. Like, what do we expect? What do we do? And then, bam, it happened. And it was like, oh, okay, so it's happened, you know? How do we deal with this? How do we prepare? Oh, it's too late, you know? She is talking to me about a child. I did see her with a child in the picture on the news video. I assume it's her child. She might have had more than one. Could also be a niece. She's showing me that pretty heartbroken, broken up about the children. I think they're hers. She wants to go back to her message, why she came to me, through me. Oh, okay. Okay, Gwen. I see. She's standing up very strongly with her chin in the air, and she's saying, he took my physical life, but he cannot kill me. She said, I'm eternal. I'm eternal. You bastard. And she said, he'll never, ever be able to fully, completely snuff her out. She's like, I'm not done. He'll never really kill me. She said, I live, you know, my soul goes on. I live on in the children. I live on in my family. And he's going to pay. She said, he's going to get his comeuppance. And so it's like he never got rid of her at all. It's like a... I'm always getting the sense that he thought he would just get rid of her and it would be done. Like it was a quick, impulsive thing, even though he probably thought about it for a while. But he did it and then he thought he'd be done with her. But she's like, oh, no, 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 no. You're never going to be done with me. I'm going to haunt you. Even though spirit doesn't haunt, she's like, in this case, the thought of her, the memories of her, her family, the law, the detectives or whatever, like whoever's working on this case, the podcast is even, it's, and not me, I mean the other podcast, it's like the reporters, nobody's going to leave him alone. They're not, and she's glad about that. Now, when we look at her in spirit, in her peacefulness, spirit doesn't need vengeance. Spirit doesn't need reparations or comeuppance kind of thing. But I guess what she's saying, this is for her, this is her message, this is for her family. She doesn't want anyone ever to think that he won in any way, shape, or form because he's losing. She said he's lost. And as she's showing herself sitting down with the children, being very playful, I can see her in like a denim longer skirt. You know, like the mums all used to wear. I know my mum used to wear the same skirt. Oh, it's that fashion back then. And she's sitting down with the children and she's playing. And she's at peace there. She's happy there. And I feel like if she had children at the time of the incident, she really tried to keep them separate from what was going on. She tried her best. And I really feel like I want to say to her, part of me, that you did do your best. I also wanted to say before, when she showed me before I started recording, it was like, she showed me like the dead of night, in the still of night, like, you know that when everyone's gone to bed and it might be wet after the rain and you can see that like on the road, it's kind of glittering with the light, but it's quiet. It's so quiet. It feels like the town is sleeping kind of vibe, or it's like, it's usually a busy area, but it's like in the dead of night, the still of night. And she's also showing me that there might've been something noisy going on at the time. So that when what happened to her happened, people just wrote it off. Or like, it was like, oh, what was that? Or most people didn't hear it or like just didn't take any notice. And she made me think of, it's like when a dog barks at night and the dog's like going off like warning, 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 warning. But everyone, no one in the neighborhood ever goes, oh my God, the dog's worried about something. We should do something about it. It's sort of like that. Oh, it's just a dog barking at night. So it's entirely possible if she was screaming or if, you know, with the shot or whatever that was, this noise that she's talking about, it's entirely possible that people just wrote it off if anybody heard it. You know, it could be, oh, it sounds like somebody's partying, or, you know, people were just falling, people were asleep. Or it could also be the other side of the coin where, you know, it was near a party or something and it sort of went in with that, or the music was loud. Something, that was funny. She's like, no one paid attention to it. She's feeling a lot easier now. I feel less of a rush to get to the microphone. I feel a little bit, she feels settled a bit, settled. She's having a coffee with me, she said. What a sweetheart. She's like, I miss that. Oh, there she said. If she's got sisters or friends or her mum, she said she still sits there and she's in on the conversations. They think she can't hear it, but she's quite tickled that she can. She's like, I can hear everything you're saying, she said. She's showing me her hair. She's playing with her hair. It's quite short at the point where she's showing it to me. I'm seeing like brown with golden tips. Like every mum had their hair like that back then. Curled, maybe even permed. I think she like really liked her hair. She's playing with it like she's proud of it. She said it got a bit scruffy towards the end of it because she was going so through so much. She wasn't able to keep up with her appearance, but I don't think anyone holds that against you. She doesn't hold... she doesn't blame anybody. She doesn't blame anybody for anything that happened to her, except one particular person. But she said to any of her family that feel like she's not... they should have done more, that they should be doing more now, she's like, no. She, quite frankly, she'd like everyone to let it go. She's like... just move on and be happy with your lives. You know, she's saying her life was one part of it. Like she said, don't let it dictate your life. It's just, her life was her life, but in your life, it's just a blip on the radar. And she's saying, just move forward, especially the kids that she was talking about before who are much older. She's saying, move on, move on, move on. I'm with you. I'm happy. We're going to be okay together. And, this is one of my favorite things that Spirit says to people. They say that they get to see more of their lives than they would if they were in physical. Because, you know, kids grow up and in most cases they leave home and grow up and, you know, see them all the time. She's saying, I see you all the time. And she's talking about a sister or someone who was like a sister to her. The blonde hair, like a long blonde hair. Not butt long, but I'm getting like it's blow dried. Like, you know, there's... I think she really loved her friend's hair. It's like blow-dried, long, blonde. It's not quite Farrah Fawcett. It's not quite like that, but it's something like that. Could be a teenage friend or a sister. She was really envious of that hair. I'm saying to my mum, I love you. And she's taking her hand. So I don't know if her mum is with her in spirit. I think she might be. I heard I'm with mum now. She's got her mum's hand. She's telling everybody in her family, everyone that loves her, to just be easy. She doesn't want any more angst. She doesn't want this person causing any more drama in anybody that she loves life. She's like, they don't realize, but they're carrying it on. All she wanted was for the torment to stop. And when people worry and stress about this particular person or they take it upon themselves to crusade for her, she said she cringes at the distress that causes in their lives. And she's saying, I never wanted that for you. I wanted it to be done. So if there's anything she could wish for resolution-wise is that it could be done. And she wants everybody she loves to just be happy. And she's sort of talking about how the media sensationalizes everything. She's like, it's not very nice how they... Because what it does is it twists the knife in her family's back. She's saying, like, take the knife out, put it down, just drop it, just drop it. She's saying, if you want justice, this is to her family, this one particular person who might be really leading the charge... She's saying, if you want justice, go for it. But she's saying, I don't need it. She really wants me to enunciate this. She really wants me to get this through to this person. I don't need justice. She said she's got her peace. Now, the only ones who aren't at peace are her family. Some of them. Except mum, of course. Her mum. And maybe her dad. I don't think... Because I'm getting a sense of a dad. Her dad, maybe he couldn't forgive himself. But she's like, it's not... It was not ever anything... Whoever this male is, she's saying, it's not anything you ever did. You know, it's not... It's not on anybody but one person. She said she definitely didn't do it. Can you tell me that again, please? She said she didn't do it herself, but she almost wishes that she had, in a way, because there would be resolution for the family. You know, they would be more accepting of that fate, and there would be peace, more peace than what there is now. But she said ultimately she would have preferred to stay in physical. But she's like, don't lament for me. Don't feel sorry for me. She said that gets you nowhere. It does nothing for me. It does nothing for my kids or the kids that she's talking about. She just really wants to talk about something else. You know, she just really wants to talk about other people's lives. And she wants to talk about how her life was before all of this went down. She's talking about a cigarette or something in the car, the armrest, you lift the top up. She's talking about something in there. It looks like a cigarette to me, but she's lifted up. There's one smoke and like maybe something else in there. Just put it back down. Then look closely. Maybe there's something in there that was important to her or is important to the story. She's saying they never looked closely. She's saying, and this is coming from her, not from what I've seen. She's saying, like, it was right there. She's like, it's right there, and they didn't even look at it. It's like the obvious choice. You know that Will Smith meme where he's like, his arms out really wide and he's like gesturing grandiosely, like grandly at this, you know, next to him, like, look at this, it's right there. Like that kind of thing. But she doesn't hold it against anybody. Remember, she's got no grudges, but she's saying, oh boy, her family do. Oh boy, her family do big time. And she doesn't want them to feel that way, even though she understands she wants peace for everybody. I'm getting the color red. Maybe the car was red, or it was, you know, a red light, or there's something red associated. Maybe she was in a red dress. Red, or like a maroni red. She's showing me like little tires, so I think it might have been a little car, or like the tires were too small, or something. Because it looks like I can see the tire and the hubcap. I feel like she's in a little car. I don't feel like she's in a big truck. She could be, but this is just what I'm seeing. Like, what I'm seeing is, it's almost like a trailer tire. Could be a caravan tire. Okay. I asked, what were you doing in the car? And she said, I was trying to get away. I was trying to get out. I don't know if she spent quite a bit of time in her car. Like, was there maybe some nights where she had to sleep in it? Or something where she couldn't, like it wasn't safe to be at home? Okay, I'll be right there. Okay, guys, I'm going to pause. I may have to come back for part two, but I am needed elsewhere. All my love. Take care.